Opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Nick is fed up. What do you think, Wynn? Do you think Nick is fed up?
Nope, not yet.
I hey. Just got a call from Gavin Newsom's office.
Uh-oh.
They're considering a plea. It's going to go something like this. I plead with Big Lou. I'm on meth and opiates, too. Maybe a little marijuana and alcohol. You know, who am I to know? I need to be rehabbed.
Okay. Anyway, we are here on Sovereign Minds, and no, this isn't Mark Kent, and over to my left here is not Linda Kent or
Red Smith.
Red Smith.
But we do have Ashley.
We have Ashley.
Ashley's here.
Ashley is here.
She is. Anyway, we were having such
hey, you
a
you know what I heard about Ashley? I heard she's pick of the litter, and I need to agree with that.
She is.
She is.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, here's the skinny, you know. I came up with this idea about the 1 cent dedicated sales tax, and we're not a committee, it's just me, and I'm pumping it, and we're just getting started. You know, I need some help.
Well, I have three points.
I would be happy to go in front of any group
right.
and give my thoughts.
Well,
I mean, the Board of Realtors, the Rotary, and, you know, we need to stand up for ourselves. But the point is, another thing that I'd like to bring to your attention is I figure it'd raise about $30 million a year. And the reason I came up with that figure is the city, some guy named Chad, is going to propose a general tax for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And the Honorable Mayor of Reading, Julie Winter, Senior Pastor of Bethel, the Church of Supernatural Ministry, estimated that to raise $25 million, so I figured $30 million county-wise. How long would that take to build a tower just like we have right now for a jail? I mean, you've already got the architectural plans. You know, you don't have to pay an architect. Let's just take it down to Burleiser Avenue and raise it up. And, you know, if that's not big enough after it's paid for in 3 or 4 years, let's build another one.
Well, I think there's three points that I'd like to bring up with you. First of all, the Navigation Center. I think that you made a good point about that. The Navigation Center itself, how does that help? This is a question I guess I have for everybody. How does that help put these 350 people, bad guys and gals, in jail? How does the Navigation Center help? With roughly 60 beds, how does that help to put the bad guys? I mean the real bad guys. 350. How does it help?
Let me tell you how that helps. First of all, it's not the real bad guys. It's low-level misdemeanors. But the way it helps, Terry, is it employs more social workers to work with these people that don't want any help, but they've got to play the game to go along so they can get back out and go do their meth and amphetamines and opiates. And keep committing crimes, and that dollar that we pay the social workers turns over 7 or 8 times, and you're talking about an influx of about $7 or $8 million a year to Reading. That's how it helps, Terry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, again, the 350 bad guys. Okay, The second thing is that if we have this 1 cent sales tax for jail only, which I don't think there's anybody that disagrees with you, the accountability process, I think that you brought up a good point about the grand jury, and I think you also brought up a good point about the five people, that there should be a panel of around five people, probably one of them, an attorney we can trust.
Michael DeQuisto.
Oh. That's a good point. Anyway, we have Peter on the line. Peter, do you have something for Nick? And do you have something for us? And do you have something for Wynn? And how's your bride? Is she having a good Mother's Day?
Hello?
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Can you hear
us,
Peter?
Hey, mate. Hey, Nick. I'd jump in a foxhole any day beside you, mate. Any time. But I've got to disagree with you on this 1%. Firstly, there's about, last time I counted, there's over 130 government agencies in Shasta County to take care of the people with mental health problems. Now, first of all, 53% of Americans have mental health problems. They're all called Democrats. Thirdly, the grand jury has no power whatever over the Board of Supervisors. And I am talking personal experience over the last 14 years dealing with the SOBs in the Department of Works there. He's stolen money from us. This is according to the grand jury and an attorney. He's had 23 grievances brought against him by the grand jury, and the county has done nothing. What I'm saying to you is, you get your 1%, good luck on keeping control of that money where it's supposed to go. It will not happen. At the end of it, you'll have another X number of government employees employed, and nothing will have changed. Now, getting
Peter,
back to
Peter.
It's
okay, Peter.
I
want to let Nick respond to this, guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Guys. I want to talk to you both right now.
Okay.
We want to have a conversation.
Okay.
Okay. So, I know that it's hard to hear, and it's even hard for us to hear both of you on the line here. Sometimes that happens with the phone. So,
okay.
So, I want to have Nick respond to what you just said, if I could. Go ahead,
okay.
Nick.
Okay.
Peter, I was going to make you vice president of the movement. Hey, you know what? That's okay to disagree, Peter. I you know, I can understand your attitude, but what's your answer to the problem?
Say that again?
He wants to know the answer to your problem.
Mike, firstly, in all the homeless persons that I have spoken to,
I'm not talking about
they're all out of town. All these people in Reading, I would like to know somebody to let me know an accurate figure of how many of these people are not from Reading. Everyone I have spoken to are not from Reading. Give me a bus, I'll take the SOBs down to San Francisco and drop them down town hall down there.
Okay, now what, guys, again, hold on. Again, because what's happening, we can't hear you, and I don't know if the folks out there can hear you either, buddy. That's what I'm saying. It's not your fault. It's no one's fault. It's the phone system is a little bit
antiquated.
So let Nick. So when you, each one of you talk, wait for the person to get done, and then respond, because we all want to hear what you both have to say. But if you're talking over each other,
and
we can't even hear it anyway. So Nick, what's your response, buddy?
My first suggestion is Peter is limited to three breaths, and then it's my turn to talk. Peter, I'm separating the homeless from the criminals, okay? Just the homeless are gone. We're talking about the criminals. We need to separate them. And, you know, I'm saying, what is your answer for the criminal activity in Reading? My answer is a 1 cent sales tax dedicated to building a jail so we can lock them up and keep them off the streets and make us safe. Now, I understand you live out in Jones Valley where happy hour is 24 hours a day, but come on, dude. What's your answer to the crime problem in Shasta County?
Realistically.
Realistically, first of all, you can't put them in a camp out there in Mill Valley. You have no control over whether they can stay or not. The answer to them is round up everybody that does not live in Reading and ship them out wherever they came from. Now, Nick, I ran a homeless person's refuge in Australia, the only one on the Gold Coast, and I was very successful at it. I made the people start paying for their food and their stay, a very minimal amount. But I have a little to do with, this is back in the 80s in Australia, and the heroin people were just coming through this refuge. Mate, there is nothing you can do with heroin addicts. You have about a 1 to 2% chance of saving a heroin addict. Do you know what? They're not worth it. And another thing I'll bring up to you, how come all these homeless people are white? You don't see any Asians homeless. You see very few Mexicans homeless, and you see very few black people homeless. They're all bloody white trash, and they're all on drugs. And they are the basis of what's breaking and entering and doing all these other things. The crime wasn't here 10 years ago the way it is today.
Peter, it's my turn to talk, and you took way more than your three breaths on this.
Okay.
Hey, listen, you keep going to the homeless. I have no problem with the homeless if they clean up after themselves and just be good citizens. I'm talking about the criminals. You keep going back to the homeless. I don't care about the homeless. You know, the criminal element is what is making our life, you know, what do you call it, unbearable? I have to lock up my house when I go out to my workshop because, you know, it hasn't happened to me, but I've read in Reading Crime 2.0 where, you know, people have snuck in their house. Well, grandma walked out to the greenhouse to plant some bulbs or something.
Well, where have these criminals all come from?
The criminals.
Where have they come from, Nick?
Well, hey, guys, I want to...
That's not my point. Once we lock them up and they know right. The consequences, maybe they'll want to go back where they came
from. I want to give some clarification to Peter, because I think maybe that's going to help a little bit about something Nick said, that two things that he said that makes, I think, a lot of sense. First of all, we're not going to rehabilitate Falconetti. We're not going to rehabilitate the guy who's got tattoos all over his body and who's a career criminal. And if we do, it's going to take a long time, and he can rehabilitate in prison where he belongs. Now, there are around 350 criminals that are chronic criminals, doing bad, bad stuff in Shasta County. We have no place to put them, and we're talking about the homeless. So I see where Nick's point is. We need to get these guys locked up. And I think that's the point Nick is trying to make.
Terry, where have they come from in the last...
Well, it doesn't
years?
Matter. They're out there. That's the whole point. It doesn't matter where they came from. Doesn't matter where they're going. What matters is that they are in our community, and one of them, in fact, it's a couple, has been arrested 57 times. The whole point is it doesn't matter where they came from, where they're going, or what's happening. How do you get them off the street? You don't get them off with a navigation center. So that's, anyway, go ahead.
Terry, I am persuaded if it was someone like me handling Nick handling the money, the 1%, it would happen and there'd be no corruption. But I do not trust this county to take my money to 1% and put it towards a jail and have it all spent on there. That they will just suck it up one way or another like they've done in the past with everything they do. You know, talk about addicts. The county and city white-collar unemployed, the white-collar welfare people, as I call the government people, they're addicted to our tax money. And what I see happening, it all sounds good and on paper, but with the people that are running this county and city at the moment, I wouldn't give them a dime. And as regards to homeless, what are they, getting back on the homeless, what are the families doing with these homeless people? Why aren't the families taking care of their screwed up kids?
May I respond?
Yeah, please.
Peter, you know what? These people probably burnt their bridge with their families. If you've never dealt with a methamphetamine addict, you know, there comes a time to where you say, hit the road, don't come back, don't call me Jack, I don't want to ever hear from you again, you're as screwed up as polio. And that's what other communities have been dumping on our community. I really don't have an answer. You know, we've got to try and trust our government, our county supervisors. We've got to write a ballot measure that they can't dive into and go behind our back and steal the funds that we meant for incarceration of criminals for some feel-good navigation center. I don't have all the answers, but you know what? I think I've got a good start going on.
Hey, Nick, we've got to go off to a break, and we do have Chris on the line. Chris, please hang on, and we'll come right back after the break. I'm going to say it anyway. Time has come.
For 51.
There are stars in the southern sky. Southward as you go. There is moonlight and moss in the trees. Down the seven bridges roll.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Redding. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Redding.
Black Bear feels like home.
What harmony, huh? Great harmony. Nick, Wynn has a question, and Chris, we're going to bring you on too at the same time. But Wynn's going to ask his questions, and then maybe Chris, you can respond along with Nick. And Nick, you'll get first shot at it. So Chris, stay with us. You are on there live. And Wynn, shoot away your question.
Okay. My question is, how are we going to account for the monies? It comes back to accountability and knowing that the monies are going to go to the right place and that it's going to be, the whole process is going to be done above board, in front of everybody with no drama and garbage behind the scenes. So my question is, how are you going to get this to pass with our current Board of Supervisors? We went before the board several years ago for the State of Jefferson to speak to them about that. It was standing room only in the room, and then there were many people out in the corridor, the hallway of the Board of Supervisors chambers. And multiple people went there to speak and talk, and I was one of them. And I had to be well over 250 people there. And of those 250 people that were there supporting, We had three people say negative things, that they didn't support Jefferson for whatever reason they said that. So we never got an opportunity to share and give them input in a formal setting. A couple of the board members even claim that they never received the information when we know, I'm going to be blunt, damn good and well that they got the information. We gave them documentation. They all received it, all of them. And we know that for a fact. We have documented proof of that. So they're going to sit up there on that dais and lie to us like they did. And then they don't give us an opportunity to present the information so that the public can be aware of it, because their meetings are recorded and they go out to all of the departments within the county so you can hear what's going on at the board meeting, number one. So they're afraid of the employees hearing it. And then they're afraid of the public hearing what's going on. So my question to you is, how do you get this under control? How do you make them and hold them accountable to what's going to be done with the monies and the whole process? How do you make that happen?
Well, when I thought I addressed that. As a matter of fact, I was at that meeting also, and I did make a statement. You know, our election process, when we put in a dedicated sales tax, it's in law. It has to go to whatever it was dedicated to. You have to trust that our elected people are going to do what we tell them to do. They're there to represent us. I don't know. How are you going to make them do that? Well, we can only have it for a jail, for staffing, and for maintenance, period. Have the county, grand jury audited each year. If the audit doesn't pass, then raise hell about it.
Chris,
you know, I mean, you've got to go up there and say you're a liar. I have done that at the city of Reading. I have gone up and said you're a liar. You're not doing this right. We need to stand up for ourselves. The problem is people sit around namby-pamby, and they take a decision that's made that doesn't really, you know, go against their beliefs, but, you know, it's kind of somewhat, and we'll let this slide. We need to quit letting it slide. Hey, this is what you said. This is what we want. This is what we voted for.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
We're going to go ahead, buddy.
Okay, first off, as far as Nick's situation here and what he's brought up, I'm in full support of the 1% going towards the criminal part of the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
But I think another approach that maybe needs to be explored, instead of a 1% increase, why not take 1% of the current sales tax and do this? Because if you get an additional 1% tax, you're rewarding the supervisors and the city council to continue to do what they do with our money.
What say you, Nick?
I don't agree with that, Chris. And it's not 1%, it's 1 cent. And
well,
that's 13%.
No. I'm just saying that it's 1 cent, not 1%.
But it's still 13%.
It's over 14%.
It's almost 14%.
So
I can't believe that the city and the county does not have a 14% of our tax dollars that's not being used wisely.
Okay, just one thing to clear it so that I hope you guys can hear each other. But
go ahead.
The 1 cent sales tax is 14% on a tax increase, not 1 cent. It's a 14.
Oh, okay.
Chris.
13.9%
I'm trying to clarify. Okay, go ahead.
Now. I do understand that.
Okay.
My position is 1 cent is not going to hurt me. At the most, it'll cost me $100 a year. I would gladly pay $100 a year and somebody else's $100 a year to lock up the criminals mm-hmm. that are on our streets.
So you're saying that the sales tax will go from 7.25 to 8.25?
That's right. And I'll tell you what, the
sales 14%
tax in San Francisco is 9.25. And look what a mess they have down there. At least this 1%, this 1 cent that we're dedicating goes to a cause. We're not giving it to somebody else to decide what they're going to do with it.
But I think the most important part of this whole situation is to hold the county and the city accountable.
Couldn't agree with you more. And help me figure out how to do that.
And I think adding that extra sales tax is rewarding them to continue their bad behavior with past tax revenue.
Well, that's because that's the point of it being dedicated to this. You can't use it for somebody something else. It's got to be used for a jail.
I don't think the 1% with a 2/3 majority will ever pass.
Well, you know what? I haven't got a better answer. Do you?
Well, like I said, let's approach it from taking the current tax revenue so no one's having an increase in sales tax and see if they can use our money more wisely.
I've got an idea.
They want to have a navigation center. That's what they think is wisely. In fact, you know, I think it's the 18th, they're going to show Seattle is dying at the Cascade Theater, and they're going to have a panel up there, and they're going to try and sell you on the navigation center.
That's just the gold digger. That's no different than the
preschool. I believe that's a big mistake.
Yeah, you guys are both agreeing, but I want to bring one thing up here. You're agreeing on that, and that's true. I mean, the navigation center, to me, the more I think about it, I don't know, maybe I'm not as warm to it as I was a couple weeks ago.
No. Terry?
Yes.
Did Sharon call back and tell you she'd go stay with me yet?
No. But anyway, what I did want to mention, though, very briefly, is the fact that we've got some money. For example, we have AB 109 money, and I'm not sure who was all on that committee. Carl Bott mentioned it the other day, and I don't remember all the people he said that are responsible for that money going for whatever it is it's supposed to go for. Let me just finish, Chris.
Go ahead.
What's happened is, and I don't know how much it is. Maybe somebody can verify this for me. I heard it's around $7 million. If it's that much money, that probably could get a few policemen, and it probably could help the probation department, et cetera, et cetera. But I know the sheriff's on that committee, and the chief of police is on that committee, and Stephanie Bridges is on that committee, and the head of probation is on that committee. I don't remember all the people who are on it. But Carl did mention that a couple of days ago, and I'm not sure. Maybe somebody can clarify that. But where's that money going? And was there a grand jury check on where that money was going?
May I touch on that subject?
I'm almost done. And then the last thing is where did the last thing is it did the grand jury come up with a situation on that? I've heard that they did, and that we still didn't adhere to it. And then I don't know if that's true or not. So maybe you guys can shed some light on that. And I think Wynn is standing up. He went, oh. So anyway, maybe you guys can shed some light on that.
Wynn's standing up because he has to go pee. As a matter of fact, you know, you have brought that up, Terry. And the AB 109 money was given to the counties to take to help pay for the AB 109 release and all the other ones after that. My question is, was that earmarked? Was there something that said that money had to go to the 109, or was that money just to help the counties pay for it?
I don't know.
Because what I'm saying is a 1 cent dedicated sales tax has to go to a jail. You see my point there?
Yeah, everybody sees the point. I'm asking a question.
Our supervisors and Larry Lease are very good at sharp penciling. And, hey, this doesn't have to go there. We can put this over there.
Well, another question I have, Nick and Terry, what is the process for the supervisors or the city council to amend that tax money on some sort of an emergency declaration and to pull that money for some other use?
There probably isn't one.
Well, I don't know if there is or isn't. I would think that there might be, but I think that's a darn good question. I think that I'm not going to assume either way, frankly. I think that that's something that we would need to find out. I think that's definitely something that we would need to find out. Not that it just, we don't know if there is any or not, because I don't know.
They've
I'd like to
that
know.
In the past. Look how they've taken money to put it towards the parks. We didn't get a chance to even vote on that.
That's true.
That's absolutely right, because that money wasn't earmarked.
Well,
I don't know how foolproof the earmark is if they have power to amend for emergency, state of emergency or declaration of some sort of emergency.
I don't believe they do have that power.
And, you know, there comes a time where you've got to stand up for yourself. Even if they don't have the power, you got to stand up and say, this is what we want. Represent us. This is what we want. We want a jail. We don't want to help Falcon Eddie with these tattoos.
Well, that horse has gone down the path a long way because they don't give a damn what we need.
Well, maybe it's time we stood up and tell them that we do give a damn, and it's time you did too.
Oh, I'm in full support, but I just don't know if there's a way that they can attack that through some sort of an amendment, through emergency declaration, and obscure that money for something else.
Let me make another point. You know, when our country was founded, I've read to where I think it was 3% of the people were in favor of us breaking off from Great Britain. Maybe it was 15%. I don't remember exactly. Most of the people were against it. They weren't willing to stand up for themselves. Most
and it's even lower than that today. I mean,
well,
look at the young people
right.
or the people that are attached to their phones. They don't know anything about what.
Hey guys, I'm getting the high sign from Ashley. We're going to have to go off to a break, and I know I'm sounding really loud right now.
Are you talking about a medicinal marijuana break? The high sign.
So, but anyway, we have to go off to a break because it's been way. So, if you both want to hold on, that's great.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Here.
So, all right, guys. Well, time has come.
For 51.
Man, do we need that?
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in the Jefferson State of Mind.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Are you looking for a place with a fun and relaxing atmosphere to unwind after a long workday? Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar has just what you're looking for. Easy to find at 2155 Hilltop Drive. Let owners Robert and Rhonda Hansen welcome you to your new favorite spot in town. Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar has a great selection of beer on tap, fine wines, weekly live music, and a food menu that's currently the best-kept secret in Reading. Open Tuesday through Saturday starting at 4. Clean, classy, and relaxing. Head to Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar. By far, the friendliest bar.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/changetheculture.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/changetheculture.
Share. Oh, boy. Well, gentlemen, there's a few things I want to bring up, and what I'd like to do in this segment is I want to bring up something, get a response on each thing, okay? And what we're looking for here is something we can sink our teeth into. We seem to have a lot of opinion. We seem to have a lot of maybe. We seem to have a lot of passion, but we really don't have anything that's concrete. So, first thing, I talked to Wynn before he left. He had to go, and I asked him, I said, does the county, since Wynn worked in government for 20 years, is there something in the county where the Board of Supervisors can take monies that are designated for a certain thing or for some things, take that money because of emergency and use that money for something else? He thinks there might be. Now, you don't know. I don't know. If somebody out there does know, then maybe you can get on the chat room and get in there. Or, frankly, I'm going to give you – can I give that other number, Ashley, so they can call you since these two lines are tied up?
Yes, and I can relay that information.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give another number out there. It's 605-4565. 605-4565. That'll go directly to Ashley, and then Ashley can get word to me on if somebody has that information. That's the first thing. Now, second thing, AB 109 dollars, okay? Did the grand jury look into that? Now, there was something like, I heard there was $7 million. Is that a fact? Is that not a fact? Did they look into it? And by the way, are there any private citizens on that particular committee? I heard no. So how do we do it the other way? So, Nick, you're first, and then, Chris, I'll go to you, buddy.
Well, I don't know about the AB 109 money. It would be my opinion if the state sent you $10 million and said this money had to be spent on the AB 109ers, then it should be spent on the AB 109ers. But if they sent you $10 million and said, here's some compensation for the AB 109ers that we're sending to you, and you decide to spend it on something else, I don't see where that's earmarked.
Okay, Charles, we have Charles on the line. Charles, now, we want to have a conversation with this. So if we can keep the answers to each thing kind of pithy, because there's about four or five things I want to go through. So what say you, my friend? What's your thought?
Well, I remember, pretty well the grand jury controversy. And
good.
As I recall, the grand jury report complained that too much AB 109 money was being spent undergirding your back, or I don't know what the exact term is, the jail budget, and not enough in their mind was being spent on new rehabilitation programs. And so that was the big
complaint. That was the state's
jury.
That was the that was the grand jury's opinion. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
May I break in?
Come on.
Yeah.
Was it set in stone that it had to be spent on that, or was it their opinion that they should have spent it a little differently?
Well, we don't know if anything can be set in stone because we don't have the answer to my first question. Is there something in place? Is there something in place to where the Board of Supervisors can take money that's specifically earmarked and use it for something else in case of emergency? I still don't have an answer to that.
Be able to answer that question. A 1 cent dedicated sales tax to a jail, can it be taken away and spent someplace else? And nobody seems to be able to answer that question.
Okay. Charles, any thoughts on that?
I think that would require a trip or two to the law library and maybe a few hours of research to try to, dig up the answer to that question to see whether or not there's some arcane
provision
that they could use as sort of a get-out-of-jail
card. I think a phone call could do it. I think a phone call would do it because you just would be asking a simple question. In case of emergency, can dedicated money, in case of emergency, in case of catastrophe, okay, could dedicated money be used for something else? I think that would just take a phone call.
I don't know.
Me either. Now,
I can't say for sure.
Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
I didn't say an emergency.
I think this is what it's not an emergency. I'm going to be on Carl Bott's show the 23rd at 8 o'clock, and maybe you could come up with some answers for that. But I'm saying it's dedicated. It doesn't have to be an emergency. You're saying an emergency, they can break in and take
the
money?
Well, you know, that the emergency is sort of tongue-in-cheek. In other
words, I probably misunderstood that question. I'm sorry, Terry. Yeah, you're right. Could they take it in an emergency?
And what would define it?
Declare an emergency?
Right.
Tattoo or Falconetti needed to be rehabbed.
Right. Okay,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're
fine. And, Charles, I appreciate you being on here. As with Peter.
Now, the two-thirds tax, okay, that's a tough one. That's 66%. That's a tough one.
1 cent.
But, well, see, here's the deal.
Whose side are you on?
Well, no, here's the deal. The deal is that from what I've heard on the program, what I'm doing is just sort of, you know, mediating all of this. I'm, you know, as far as I'm concerned, my thought process is that, you know, we need to have some way to lock these guys up. We need a jail. Okay, so the thing is that as we look at this and we look at the two-thirds vote, there are so many people out there that don't have that trust that we have to ironclad something in there to where there is accountability, and this is something nobody's brought up yet.
Can I break in?
Let me just finish.
No.
The accountability of the boards of supervisors, some way that they can be held accountable. See, that's the thing. How do we keep them? We have to hold them accountable, and we have to trust them. Well, apparently the lack of trust is out there, but how do we hold them accountable so if they spend it the wrong way, there's repercussions on them? Go ahead, Nick.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And I don't have an answer for that. My best answer is a dedicated tax. And why don't we put you in charge of figuring out how we can hold them accountable? I see where the city has maybe breached our trust in the past. And I see how the county has maybe fine-penciled this and gone around the accountability. You know, you go back to the old saying, it's legal, but it's not right. You know, so we're going to put you in charge of keeping the accountability where our 1 cent jail tax goes.
Well, actually, this whole thing is your gig, and I agree with you. The whole point is that we need an attorney to do that. We need somebody who can write something up and put it into, because you were talking about, initiative being written up by the county so that we aren't out there trying to get signatures. We shouldn't have to. The county board of supervisors should do that. But that would be something if the meeting were an attorney, and you mentioned DeAquisto, could be someone who would write it in to where there is the accountability of the board of supervisors. I mean, the main thing about issues like this is you in digging, you can't get frustrated. I mean, you just can't get frustrated in digging. And so since you mentioned DeAquisto, and I agree with you, that's maybe a pretty good choice. And so that might be the guy to help write it with the citizens committee, to make sure that's, going through. Anyway, that's a little bit to think about. We've got to go off to a break here because Ashley gave me the high sign. I'm a little late. Hang on, guys. And time has come for 51.
I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home. Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone. Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300.
To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Little rock music. All right. Let's see. We've got both lines lit up. I'm not really sure who's on them. Jimmy, you're there, though, aren't you, buddy?
I'm here.
All right, Jimmy. Go ahead. You said you had an answer on the sales tax and how we can hold. You got an answer. We're waiting for the answer.
Hey, I'm Jimmy. I'm going to tell you the answer.
Hey, right Nick. Now. Nick, please. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Right. So I'm not the brightest star in the sky when it comes to this stuff, but
okay.
There's a thing called a hypothecated tax.
Okay. What is that again? Hypo.
Hypothecated.
Cicated.
A lot of syllables there. I get kind of confused.
Tax.
But,
okay. Go ahead, buddy.
Okay. So that tax is for also known as the ring fencing or earmarking of a tax.
Okay.
Is the dedication of the revenue from a specific tax for a particular expenditure purpose. This approach differs from the classic method according to which all government spending is done from a consolidated fund. Okay, and this the history goes back to when the English were bringing in their ships and they were earmarking that ship money. So I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to take up all your time, but we need to look at the hypothecated tax.
Can you email me that?
Absolutely.
Okay, that'd be great. So, Jimmy, that's why Jimmy's on our constitutional committee.
And that's why I want Jimmy on the committee.
No kidding, absolutely. So
I'm like one of a thousand good ideas.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's really good. So if you send me that. Now, one quick question about that tax. Now, is that something that is that considered something that would be basically a tax that anybody can use? I mean, is that a tax that we can use countywide? Or, is it only locked into federal? Is it only locked in? Do you know that?
It's mostly for public service. Well, yeah, it's for public service.
Perfect.
Healthcare.
Perfect.
Public goods.
Perfect. But
public goods is where it first came into,
into effect. Okay.
From the old tobacco industry.
Right.
Way back in the day. All right. Well, yeah, I'll send you the link and we'll check it out. And I'll send you the link to you, Nick.
Perfect.
Thank you.
All right, folks. Great show.
Okay, Jimmy. Listen, if you need to do that, just text me again.
Okay.
If you need to get on.
No worries.
Jimmy's,
all right.
Jimmy's
all right,
the
bye.
Guy I would
Thank
like
you, Jimmy.
On the committee to negotiate with the, not negotiate, tell the supervisors what we want. Because this is what we want. We want to lock the scallywags up, and then we'll concentrate on the people that need our help.
Well, what we're doing here is we're actually getting to some things we can sink our teeth into is what we're getting to. That's the whole thing. We can, I mean, you know, we right now we're starting to get some facts that are showing up. We're starting to get some answers on some
Absolutely.
Things because there isn't anybody in this county that doesn't want a jail. I don't think there's any right-minded person that doesn't want a jail. And frankly, folks, Nick Gardner is the one who came up with this idea. He's the one who stood up and put this idea up. We have somebody else on the line here, and I'm checking to see who it is because before I go into the thing I wanted to...
Charles. We have Charles,
Charles
on the
back.
Line.
Okay, anyway. So I can go into this then. So as we talk about this, you know, this navigation center stuff, you know, it seems that everybody's for that. And my question is, for the navigation, I know I've got Charles on the line. He might even know this. And Nick, you might know this too. Is that navigation center really being pushed hard because there's some state money out there? There's grant money out there? Is there money out there for this?
I can only speculate, but they're sure doing a salesmanship job on it. I mean, they're just trying to shove it down our throat. And we're all going to be happy as soon as we get a navigation center.
Well, maybe we can get an answer on that, too. Maybe we can get some kind of concrete fact on that or facts on it so that we know as we proceed down the road of this whole thing exactly what's going on with that. Because, you know, the reasoning for it is good, and I really like Chief Johnson. I think he came up with a really nice plan. I think he's trying to work with something.
About Chief Johnson.
I think that what we need to do is work towards something maybe down the road, but I think that Nick has a point about the jail.
Let me say something about Chief Johnson. I think he's an outstanding person. I think his ideas are very well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in favor of the navigation center, but if for some reason a 1 cent sales tax for a jail only was to pass, I would like Chief Johnson to stand up and say, this is how we're going to run it.
Well, I think the thing, I don't know if that's completely fair. I think the guy has been, because when you throw something out like this, he had the, just like you, okay, you're throwing the idea out about the jail, but frankly, we've had some really good conversation on these two programs, and it's helped in the reality of what we need to do to hold people accountable, what it is we need to do, how we can do this, those kinds of things. So I think that Chief Johnson, as he even admitted when he threw out this idea to begin with, he had based his model on, what he saw on Seattle is Dying, that YouTube on Seattle is Dying, and basically on the Rhode Island model. So, the thing is when you throw something out there, you can't, I mean, he isn't going to have all the answers. I mean, I think it's fair that he went out there and he asked for people's help and things like that. I mean, that isn't...
But I suspect when he realized this, that we're not going to have a navigation center, that we're going to have a jail, that this would be the guy to say, this is how we're going to run our jail.
You mean this is the guy saying how we're going to do this thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He's the guy that said, hey, Tattoo Eddie isn't, Falcon Eddie isn't rehabilitatable. But, you know, maybe his kid is. Let's have some trade schools for his
sure,
kid
sure.
who just got out of high school.
Sure, you know, and that makes sense. But I guess my point is that, you know, when you had heard that there was a, we were having a meeting and Chief Johnson was there, I mean, how much did Chief Johnson say and how much did the sheriff say? I mean, we all know who rules the roost in that deal. Okay, so really his opinion, and I know some of his opinions you weren't in favor of, on the sheriff and some of his what he thought, but you know the thing is that he is the top dog there. So really and truly, we've got a. I'm getting the 1 minute sign. Is that what you're doing to me, darling? Okay, I'm getting
but
the 1 minute.
But you know the thing is,
Nick, hang on 1 second. Nick, we've got to go to a break. I'm so sorry, sir, but we've got to go to a break. Hang on through the break, and time has come for 51.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Are you paying a fair price for your drugs? More than 40 states allege price fixing in a suit against generic drug makers.
The attorneys general say the nation's largest generic drug manufacturers conspired to artificially inflate and manipulate prices for more than 100 different generic drugs, including treatments for diabetes, cancer, arthritis, and other medical conditions. The lawsuit also names 15 individual senior executives responsible for sales, marketing, and pricing. Investigators said the drugs account for billions of dollars of sales in the United States.
Correspondent Ron DeRockstra. Democrats are expected to go hard after Georgia Republican David Perdue in next year's Senate race. Perdue tells the Salem Radio Network he expects a no-holds-barred attack as Democrats fight to regain control of the Senate.
It really doesn't matter. I'm up here doing my job. My dad told me one time, take care of the job you got. Everything else will take care of itself. So we're doing what we should be doing. But, you know, they'll come up with somebody that it doesn't matter, that they will be a rubber stamp for this radical agenda that they're perpetrating right now.
Democrats are still holding to the narrative that Stacey Abrams was robbed of the election last year in Georgia's gubernatorial race. The man who reported 4-year-old Malia Davis had been abducted last weekend has now been arrested near Houston in connection with her disappearance. Police say they found blood in Darian Vence's apartment linked to her. He had lived with Malia and her mother and was charged with tampering with a human corpse. A police spokesman says Malia has not been found and the investigation continues. Nearly 62 million Filipinos have registered to vote in the country's midterm elections tomorrow. The vote is seen as a crucial referendum on President Rodrigo Duterte's rise to power and his crackdown on illegal drugs. The most crucial race is set for 12 seats of the 24-member Senate. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
Thousands of Polish nationalists have marched to the U.S. Embassy in Warsaw.
They protested the U.S. putting pressure on Poland to compensate Jews whose families lost property during the Holocaust. Demonstrators included far-right groups and their supporters. They say the U.S. has no right interfering in Polish affairs. Demonstrators add the U.S. government is putting Jewish interests over the interests of Poland.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart. An insurgent attack at a luxury hotel on Pakistan's southwestern coast killed 5 people yesterday, including a special forces soldier, a hotel security guard, and 3 staff members. The country's military says after concluding a painstaking operation to clear the hotel and defuse explosive devices left behind the attackers, there were 3 gunmen, not 4 as initially reported. They were all killed during the 8-hour gunfight on Saturday inside the Pearl Continental Hotel. News and analysis at townhall.com. School districts around the country are turning to student geek squads to help them maintain the thousands of iPads and laptops routinely handed out.
School administrators say it's a win-win situation. Schools benefit from the expertise of the tech-savvy youngsters, while the kids hone practical skills. Student techs learn hardware and software fixes for the inevitable cracked screens, stuck keys, freeze-ups, and dead batteries from school staff, each other, and online tutorials. Students in Buffalo, New York, even make field trips to a local Apple store to learn the ins and outs of tech support. Rich Thomason reporting.
Today is Sunday, May the 12th, and it's a birthday for some famous people, including composer Burt Bacharach, 91 years old today. Actor Ving Rhames turns 60. Country musician Matt Mangano of the Zac Brown Band is 43 today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Well, I'm now here with Ashley and Sue.
Good morning.
Hi, Sue.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. Anyway, so I'm surrounded here by very brilliant people. I'm really excited about that. Talking about brilliant people, Charles, you need to keep this pithy, buddy, so that we can get the line open.
All right. It was mentioned earlier that Michael DeQuisto should be on any future oversight committee regarding the dedicated or perhaps general, depending on how it's written, tax. And I'm not sure that DeQuisto's the best person for the job, given his readiness to very quickly go against his own campaign promise to put public safety first and spend city money on a soccer field and then make all kinds of excuses for it, claiming that spending money on a soccer field is actually a public safety expenditure.
I'd like to reply to that.
Charles, thank you very much, buddy.
All right. Slava Stata Jeff Gears.
Right back at you.
Hey, you know, nobody is going to satisfy you 100%. You know, I have noticed Mike DeQuisto asks hard questions when it comes to city council, what's going on. You know, one thing he pointed out this last week was that Barry DeWalt was going to get a 2.5% raise, and everybody, the four up there besides Michael, were saying that he's just working cheap. He's working for like $185 an hour.
Yeah, Ken Murray said that.
You know, and Mike DeQuisto pointed out that Barry doesn't have any overhead, that he's not paying $700,000 or $800,000 a year for a staff, for rent, for malpractice insurance, and that kind of stuff. Certainly, you don't like that he voted for the soccer park. Well, you know, if you're going to go in the hole, I think I'd rather go in the hole for our youth, for our kids that are young. And, you know, I think he's a good guy. If you don't think he's a good guy, that's your opinion. And as far as he being on maybe a committee to write the referendum for a sales tax, I believe he would be a good choice. If you've got a better choice, I'm happy to listen to it.
Well, I think that, you know, you make a lot of good points. You know, and you know, the thing is that a lot of times we have a lot of opinion, but that's what we've been trying to sort through this morning, and that is get down to the crux of the matter, get down to the bone, so to speak. That's a good point about DeWalt. You know, he doesn't have the overhead. And believe me, I know that with the CFR court case, I know that, that most of the money that we have spent on the CFR court case, which is the lack of representation and dilution of vote case that we have against the state of California, most of that money has been spent on the staff and the research and all that other stuff. So you're really, he's spot on with that. Now, I know that there was a remark that was made on Carl's show about Ken Murray made the remark that this guy made maybe $170,000 a year, and what does an attorney cost you, and blah, 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 blah. But that is true. There is no staff. And really and truly, there isn't the amount of money. I think you, was it you, Wynn, that gave me that, or Jimmy, that it was like $313,000 a year when you took everything into consideration? Nick?
Yo, I think Mike DeQuesco mentioned the number of about $700,000.
No. DeWalt made about $300,000.
If you're not happy with Mike DeQuesco, that means you're happy with the rest of the council.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, you know, it's his opinion. He's entitled to that. But let's get back into, okay, so we're talking about this 1 cent sales tax. We know we've got to get the criminals off the street. We know we need a jail. What we need to do is we need to figure out a way to where the County Board of Supervisors is not only responsible, like they have to be legally, for that money going to where it's supposed to go, but they're accountable if it doesn't. And again, we might have to put in parameters on exactly what jail money means. In other words, that money that goes toward the jail and the operations of the jail, how much of that goes to, does any of that go to the medical that has to be done there? Does any of that go to, what about the entire overhead of it? There could be different things that come into play along with the state of California sending out new regulations on what you have to do on a jail.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the first thing we need to do is get it on the ballot. And then we can talk about that stuff.
Well, no. What you have to do is you have to have something reasonable in the initiative, so when it goes on the ballot and people vote on it, they're going to be voting on a finished product. You don't vote on a product that's not finished. You vote on a finished product.
Well, we need to agree that we need to get it on the ballot, and we need to define what we want on the ballot.
There you go. That's exactly correct. So once we have the definition of it.
There's a lot of thoughts out there. My thoughts are, let's take care of the criminal element, and then let's concentrate on the homeless element.
Anyway, if you have a question out there, 605-4567, 530-605-4567. We are streaming live on the Internet, podcast and archived.
I've got a question out there. I'm here at the jewelry store, and I'm looking for a ring for Sharon. She hasn't told me if she wants to go steady yet.
Well, she really hit home with you, didn't she?
Oh, she's a great girl.
Yeah, she's great. She's great.
You know, such an eloquent presentation, as with Janice from Bernie. Gosh, they just hit the hammer on the nail head. They just bring it home about how our states were independent little countries that hired the United States to represent us. And all of a sudden, the United States has taken us over and telling us how it's going to be.
Well, that's true. You know, it is the United States. And the thing is that the powers were delegated by the states to the federal government. And that seems to be the issue a lot of people don't really understand. The state holds the power. It's sort of like, when you create a union, I mean, they were individual states to begin with. Maybe they created a union. It's sort of like if you have three women standing next to each other and they all have their opinion and they have what they, I'm using that because it's Mother's Day. So three
You've
moms.
Got a civil war.
Three moms. Well, no. And the three moms are standing there and they're talking about something and they're agreeing on something and they all hold hands. They lock hands. Now, did we create a union, an agreement, or did we create a bigger woman? So the point is that that's what's happened with government. Government's been in a position now to where it gets bigger, it gets broader, it gets more out of hand, and frankly, there's less adherence to the law. We have a lot of issues now with the court system, and we've talked about that before on this program. The court system itself, judges, okay, what's the accountability of a judge? Well, the accountability in Article 3, Section 1 of the United States Constitution specifically states that a judge serves at good behavior, and behavior is in capital letters. It means that they have to adhere to what? The Constitution, and only what's enumerated in it. So as we go off into situations where we've got, we have people that are on boards of supervisors, people that are on city councils, people that are judges, people that are in office. When they're not adhering to the rule of law, that's why you get the conversation we've had all day long. the conversation we've had all day long is how do we hold their feet to the fire if they're not accountable. So with that, we've got to go after a break. 605-4567, 605-4567. You can listen to us on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, KCNR. Time has come for 51.
Work next door. Even though we started at the very same time, Alexander Hamilton began to climb. How to account for his rise to the top? Man, the man is non-stop.
Gentlemen of the jury, I'm curious, bear with me. Are you aware that we're making history? This is the first murder trial of our brand.
Jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
There'll be days like this, when there's no one complaining. There'll be days like this, when everything falls into place, like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like
this. Oh, there's going to be days like this. Beautiful day outside. Oh, you don't need to worry. That's for sure. There'll be days like this. This is Terry Raposa. This isn't Mark Kent. And I'm here filling in Sovereign Minds. We've had a lively discussion this morning about the jail.
Hey, I want to say something about days like this. I am so thankful that we can have a conversation like this, because there probably isn't another country in the world that you can have a conversation like this, that you can run down your government and you can say what they are doing wrong, how you feel, and even if you're wrong, you've got the opportunity to voice your opinion. This is a wonderful day in the United States and of America.
Touche. Ditto. Monday night, tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at 2570 South Bonneview Road.
I'm going to stir up the pot.
We are having Jeanette Finnegan. Have you taken your meds this morning? Anyway,
Good grief.
Can I get an announcement out? Is that okay?
No, you're grounded.
Gosh, is there?
Grounded, Terry.
We need duct tape. Okay. Anyway.
I have a mute button.
Oh, good. You have a mute button. Mute him. Anyway, on Monday night, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, 2570 South Bonneview Road, at the church that shall remain nameless, we're going to have Jeanette Finnegan, who is Lavoie Finnegan's widow, who has a wrongful death lawsuit against the state of Oregon, as her husband was killed by a state policeman in Oregon. And we are going to have her in. She's going to be showing the second part of a video that Lavoie did before his death. The second part of this is called Dead Man Talking, and she'll be showing that and discussing what's going on with the case up there. A lot of people are familiar with what happened up in Oregon and what happened to Lavoie, and we're hoping you come out tomorrow night, hear her story, see the video, and support the fact that we do need to stand up for what's right in our country. Nick is absolutely right. We have a country we can do this in, but we also have a situation where, since we are able to do that, we have to stand for what's right and make sure we do hold these people's feet to the fire and keep them accountable. So, Nick, any other thoughts on your quest here?
Lavoie Finicon was assassinated by the deep state, our government.
Okay.
And you know, that shouldn't have happened. And that's my thoughts on that. If you don't stand up for what you think's right, well, then you're just a candy ass. Because who's going to stand up for you? Who's going to speak your piece? Who's going to say, hey, this is right, this isn't wrong? You know, there comes a time you need to stand up and say, hey, you know what? The homeless is a different issue than the criminals. We want to straighten things out, and, gosh, I can't thank you enough for the opportunity to talk with you today.
Well, I think that what you've done is you hit the nail on the head. See, this is the thing we have to realize. Nobody's disagreeing, basically, with anything you've said. No one has disagreed with the fact that we need a jail. No one has disagreed that we've got to get those 350 people off the streets. No one has disagreed with any of that. A lot of it is, but we need to work out the fine-tuning of this. And before that initiative hits the voter, you've got to have it in concrete. You've got to have that done ahead of time.
You do,
because you can't. Let me give you one quick example, okay? For example, we had a water bill, right? Well, we had a water bill, what was it, $7 billion that they've spent already. They still haven't done what they said they were going to do in that particular proposition. But we had a water bill, $7 billion with a B. We voted on it. Nobody really knew what was happening with it. Nobody really knew what the specifics were. And now we're sort of caught in just this never-ending hole that seems to be having money being poured down it, because we didn't have it locked in first. You've got to lock in this initiative first. It has to have all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted. Now, when we did the court case for the CFR, everything from the contract we got from the attorneys, we had another retired judge and attorney look at it. And this gentleman was known as being able to pick fly poop out of pepper. So he really got in there. He got everything all squared away before we even signed that. That, I think, is the point that people want. If you come across to them with passion, that's good. If you come across to them with ideas, that's good. But you said it yourself about Chief Johnson. I mean, God bless him for coming up with the idea, and he's a good man. He isn't going to have it all together. But once that thing goes through and we have money approved for that navigation center, it darn well better have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. And that's the way this initiative has to be. Everything in place, even the group and the committee that people want to be in there to make sure that this money would go to what it's supposed to go to before it even goes on the ballot. So those things have to be done first. So the passion part's easy. The idea part's easy. But the heavy work and heavy lifting's got to be done now.
What's so heavy about holding somebody accountable to their word?
Well, knowing about the law that Jimmy talked about, for one thing, that's a big deal. I mean, you figure that...
Write that into the news.
Well, I know, but that's the thing. I mean, this is going to take that. And, yeah, we have to get people aware of it. Now, the one thing we could do is get enough people in front of the Board of Supervisors when you talk about maybe 1,000 people that show up, because 250 people didn't make any difference. Frankly, whether you agree with it or not, when they did a geoengineering meeting, whether you agree with that or not, they had more people than they'd ever had at a Board of Supervisors meeting ever. You know, like I said, it doesn't matter whether you agree with it or not. It fell on deaf ears. So in a lot of cases, we have to do those kinds of things. And we have Chris back on the line. Chris, what say you, sir? Chris.
Yes.
What say you, sir?
Yeah, first off, your summarization of what we've been discussing this morning was absolutely spot on as far as having all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. And as far as, you know, coming up with a foolproof initiative where they can't grab the money, the only thing that keeps popping in my mind is what happened with the Patriot Act and how they took all that money and a great deal of freedom from us, and we had no way of voicing our opinions on that.
Is the Patriot Act constitutional?
I don't know.
No.
It's federal.
And the other thing is, I know that's a federal issue, but I, with California the way it is, I can't see it being run any different than the federal government as far as how they can grab. And
I agree
I'm in
with
full
Chris.
Support of what Nick wants to do. I'm not arguing that at all.
What say you,
absolutely
Nick?
Absolutely right on as far as getting these criminals. I mean,
I'll tell
we
you
see
what
it every
me.
Single day.
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Hey, I agree with you, Chris, but actually the Patriot Act was a federal act, and, you know, I'm not even in favor of a state act. I'm talking about a county act. This is where we are right down to the nitty-gritty. We've got people we can call in our county supervisors and say, why'd you do this? This isn't what we wanted. This is something that we at the bottom level can say this is what we want. I am a firm believer that we are going to rebuild our county, our country, from the bottom up. We're not going to rebuild it by electing Maxine Waters or Camellia, what in the hell's her
Harris.
Last name? And Dianne Feinstein. We're not going to get anywhere electing federal officers. We need to rebuild our county from the foundation, right from the city of Reading to the county.
And I'm in full agreement with that, Nick. I'm full agreement with that. I have no doubt in that at all. But with California being as large and as watered down, not watered down isn't the right word, but
you can't use the right word.
With California as large as it is in the amount of money and the corruption and the graft and the payoffs, I can't see the whole state of California not being run any different than the federal government, even down to the county level.
Well, if you don't stand up for yourself, who's going to stand up for you?
Well, here's the thing that might help with what you're saying, Chris. When we send our taxes down to Sacramento, we get them back. However, 87% of what most counties get back, the state requires you to spend it on what they require you to spend it on. So
right,
there's
they
only,
have your tentacles on everything. I mean,
well,
11% of our
wait. Let me finish, buddy. Okay, so you have anywhere from 13 to 17% that's called discretionary spending. Now, the mandatory spending is dictated by the state. It could be anywhere from 83 to 87%. The discretionary spending is spending for health and safety, for example, you know, police, fire, et cetera. You know, and that's only going to be 17 to 13%. So the state does mandate a lot of things that happen. So, you know, when you're elected as a board of supervisor, you go to a thing called RCRC, and the first thing you're told is, here's how you get the money. Here's how what you need to do to get the money. Here's the hoops you need through to get the need to have to you know, this is what you have to do so you get the money. Now, the one thing about this initiative, and the one thing that I don't even know if we can do this or not, but maybe this is a question to ask DeAquisto. Maybe you want to ask him this, Nick, and that is that with this particular initiative, how do we make sure that the Board of Supervisors is responsible for this money? And if in fact they don't spend this money in the way that they're supposed to lawfully, what is their accountability and what are the consequences for that? And I think I have to go off to a break. Is that right, Ashley? Yeah, so they're both nodding at me. Okay, so I've got to go off to a break. Hang on, guys. Good discussion. Time has come for 51.
grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies and leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys. Still are unseen, sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
May is Peace Officers Memorial Month. The Shasta County Deputy Sheriff's Association would like to recognize the officers who gave their lives in the line of duty. Since May of 1988, a ceremony is held in front of the Shasta County Courthouse to recognize these officers. Also, there is a memorial run consisting of law enforcement officers running 1 mile for each officer who died in the line of duty. The runners pass a baton at each mile. The baton bears the names of each slain officer and the date they died. Over the years, a monument has been dedicated along with the formation of the Peace Officers Coalition. Please join us on Thursday, May 16th at 11 a.m. in front of the Shasta County Courthouse to remember and honor the slain peace officers that have given their lives to serve the North State. This message honoring our officers slain in the line of duty is brought to you by the Shasta County Deputy Sheriff's Association, correctional officers, and district attorney investigators, dedicated men and women who work tirelessly for our community.
Sometimes your morning coffee's way too strong, and sometimes what she says all wrong. But right or wrong, she's there beside me, like only a friend would be, and that's close enough to perfect for me.
To all you perfect moms out there, Happy Mother's Day. So, I'm going to go right to Chris. You got anything else there, Chris?
Yeah, I was just sitting here thinking, once again, Happy Mother's Day to everybody and all your beautiful mothers out there. I think a resource we might be able to tap into to maybe bring some light to the intertwining of the county and the city and the state and so forth, maybe Gary Catt, if he's willing to participate and donate a little time. You know, we all saw firsthand how they tore that man down.
That's a good suggestion.
But he may have some insight as far as how the intertwinings and all this stuff works.
That's a great suggestion.
I don't know if he's willing to do so. I mean, he deserves his time. He's earned it.
Well, I think he could at least give us some insight. I mean, a conversation is certainly, I know he'll do that. I know he'll do that. So, all right, Chris.
Well, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, buddy, and have a great day.
Fighting a good fight.
Okay, pal.
I support what you're doing, but we really do need to research and make sure this thing is foolproof.
Couldn't agree with you more. Thank you, buddy.
You're welcome.
Okay. So we should have a line open here now, and that would be 605-4567, 530-605-4567, and Nick always likes to talk while I'm talking. Yes, Nick.
The first person I ever saw, Terry.
Pardon me?
Pardon? Hey, yeah. You
Pardon
know
me?
What?
What was
Gary
that?
Cad
Pardon me?
Did a wonderful job. And, you know, Michael DiQuesto is in the same position Gary Cad was. One person that really uses common sense on the city council is kind of outnumbered. It's my opinion that Micah DiQuesto is a very intelligent person that can analyze the problem and figure out an answer.
Okay.
Am I still on here?
Yeah, I'm just listening. Unlike you, I'm not talking when you talk.
I'm thinking that, you know, when it comes to suggesting what's going on with the county, that this would be a good person to chime into.
Yeah, I think that Gary Catt would be great. Patrick Jones is another one. I mean, Patrick certainly knows the ins and outs of things. Another good source we'd have, he would be somebody I would suggest be on that particular, in fact, definitely I would suggest that he would be on that committee too. So you've, so far you've got Jimmy, you've talked about having maybe Patrick Jones, DiQuesto. I don't think it'd be any kind of conflict. I don't think for DiQuesto. But the whole deal is that once this initiative is written, it's got to be written and done properly. So that's why a lot of the discussing of how we do that is every bit as, and I would say, I would even say probably more important than what our opinion is or what we need to have get out there and get it done. You did mention at one point, and I thought it was a really good, something you brought up on Pete's program that was really good. You brought up the fact that, that we could, once this tax, let's say this tax is approved, that we could start building immediately. You said there was a fund they could go into for that. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, the fact is, according to, the Honorable Mayor Julie Winter, senior pastor from Bethel, the Church of Supernatural Ministry, she quoted that 1% general sales tax would raise $25 million. So I just kind of figured that, you know, countywide it would raise $30 million. And Anderson said that they, when they passed their tax, they went immediately into the funds from the city of Anderson.
Yeah.
And they could get started on it.
Yeah.
So I don't see any reason why, if this passed with the county, they couldn't go right out and borrow some money and start building immediately. I mean, they already have the architectural plans. They could just build another tower like we have. You see my point?
Yeah, and I think it's a good one. I thought that's why I wanted you to bring it up again, because I think that if this thing gets passed, that if they can start building immediately, that would be a really good selling point to the public. In other words, this wouldn't be something, well, you know, we're gonna, we've got this money now, we're collecting this money for a year or two, and then we'll get started on it, and we're breaking ground in 2021, you know. I think that's a good point. If they could go immediately.
We could break ground right away.
Right,
and away
right.
We go. We could,
right.
In a year and a half, we could have 500 beds.
Right. And now, one other thing I want to bring up, too. When we had our meeting on Monday night, at the end of it, I was outside talking with some folks, and you had mentioned that somebody had asked the sheriff if 500 beds was enough or something. Can you kind of elaborate on that? And then I'll tell you why I asked that question.
Well, the sheriff, he said that 500 beds isn't enough, and they'd never have enough beds. Well, you know.
No, the sheriff said that.
The sheriff's agenda is to just keep the bureaucracy going.
Ah, okay. So, well, again, see, the other thing, you've got to follow the money. Okay, you got to follow the money. That's why I kind of keep going back to that. Because if you're looking at the Navigation Center, there might be grant money out there for that. The money, we've sort of burned that bridge with the money for the jail. That's another thing. For a comment like, well, 500 beds wouldn't be enough, I mean, you kind of scratch your head and you go, okay, well, then has all of a sudden the shift gone from the top law enforcement officer in our county to let's have a navigation center and... Yeah, we'll sort of skip the jail. And
you know, my thoughts on that is if you would have asked Mike Johnson, how's 500 beds sound to you, he would say that's a pretty good start.
I would think that Mike Johnson would have said that too. But 500 beds should be enough. And I know the sheriff did say on Monday night that when they built the jail originally, that they built it with extra beds, thinking they wouldn't have to build a jail for a long, long time, not realizing that, well, we're in California and we have AB 109, et cetera. So, I think that, I didn't hear the comment myself. I know you did and other people did. That's why it gave me pause, because I'm thinking, well, wait a second here. You're the top law official here and for law enforcement, and you're leaning toward a navigation center and not a jail with the opportunity to have a jail? So.
Well, you know what? He said, you know, it was built in 1983 and we thought it would last a long, long time. Seems to me like right now is a long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one other thing I want to bring up, and we got to go off to a break, but I want you to think about this. Okay, so now that we've pretty much come to a conclusion that we really need to have a structure of this initiative before it ever happens, and there has to be some things locked into place before it ever happens, so when people vote on something, they have a finished product. Would the idea of pulling the committee together that you've suggested that go to the Board of Supervisors, maybe pulling that committee together ahead of time, coming up with that committee, pulling your committee together and then saying, okay, well, here's the things that we need to understand. If this thing goes forward, we need to understand that the county not only has to make sure it goes toward a jail only, but the Board of Supervisors is held accountable. So anyway, with that, I think the girls want to go off to a break, and they're kind of smiling. Oh, there we go. Got smiles
got
now.
I got there.
I do. And it's Mother's Day. I got a funny story to tell you when we get back from that anyway. Because my wife's best friend is at our house, and she's amazing, just an amazing little gal. And they're doing all this stuff. They fix everything. It's great. I don't have to pick up a drill. I mean, I don't have to mow the lawn. It's great stuff. In fact, about 4 o'clock, I think I'm going to just sit back in a chair, watch the game, and have a beer. I know. Is that heresy?
State of Jefferson.
Time has come for 51.
Oh, the buzzing of the bees and the cigarette trees, the soda water fountain, where the lemonade springs and the bluebird sings in that big rock candy mountain. On a summer's day in the month of May, a burly bum come hiking down a shady lane near the sugar cane. He was looking for his lichen. As he strolled along, he sung a song of a land of milk and honey, where a bum can stay for many a day, and he won't need any money. Oh.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004.
but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
The annual Orchard Nutrition Health Fair is coming Saturday, May 18th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's your chance to enjoy lots of free samples of items all related to your health, including a barbecue, fun for the kids, a chance to meet your favorite radio personalities, and great music from DJ Bob Ed. Find out about organic groceries, vitamins and supplements, and so much more. And the event is absolutely free. The annual Orchard Nutrition Center Health Fair, Saturday, May 18th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 221 Locust Street in Reading.
That was Ashley's choice. I know it was. It was. Sue's laughing. Maybe it was Sue's choice.
No, it was Ashley's.
It was Ashley's.
It makes Ashley giggle, so that's what we're playing today.
Yeah, that's good. What can we do to make Nick giggle?
Well,
is there anything to make Nick giggle
at
all?
If Sharon call up and say she wanted to go steady with me, I'd probably giggle.
Oh, Sharon, I don't know if you're still listening, but I'm sure you have better things to do.
She is a very well-spoken person.
Yep. Well, we are at KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. We are streaming live, podcasted and archived. This is Sovereign Minds, and no, this is not Mark Kent. This is Terry Raposa sitting in because we drew straws to see who would have to talk to Nick for an hour and a half.
Hey, and you're damn lucky. I mean, damn lucky with a capital D. I'd like to finish up and say
that,
if you're happy the way things are going, don't even vote. Don't even pay attention. If you're not happy, you need to maybe consider having me come and speak to your group for a 1 cent dedicated sales tax for criminals.
Bob, you're on the line, buddy.
Separating for criminals from homeless. And, I'm not happy with the way things are going. And we need to stand up and speak for ourselves because it's very obviously that our elected officials are not speaking for us. It's very disappointing. I'm not happy with the way my hometown is going. I mean, I can't even beat up somebody that's breaking into my car. It's against the law to beat them up. Call the police. Call 911 if they're breaking out your car window and stealing your laptop. Certainly don't confront them. Go ahead, Home Skillet. Terry, what do you got to say about that?
Well, we have Bob on the line, and you sort of took a breath there for a minute, so I called his name out. But anyway, Bob, there you are, buddy.
Yeah. Good morning again. I have two things. One, I don't think the county board and or the city board of supervisors would care to have Gary or anybody else that's an ex-board member overlook them because then they feel that the people do not trust them. and I don't think they would like anybody like that on the board. Now, if it were somebody like me, just a regular layman, they would figure they have enough power and strength they could go by us. But I don't think they'd like Gary or Patrick Jones or anyone like that on the board overlooking them.
Hey, Bob. Bob.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I want to clarify what you're saying. That's what I want to do. Because it was...
Okay.
So what you're saying is that the Board of Supervisors wouldn't like Gary Cadd or Patrick Jones on the Citizens Board. Is that what you just said?
That's right.
Okay, now, with that, who cares what they like or don't like? It's the Citizens Board. What's your second point?
Well, the other thing is, I think a way that Mr. Johnson, the chief of police, and stuff, if we do put this money together to get the jail, I think they ought to incorporate the jail with that life center, and we could save money. We won't need two places. We could save money by having it all together within the jail, and I think that can work.
Okay.
What say you, Nick?
Yeah, Nick.
Hell
yeah.
No.
Okay.
We're not going to incorporate it together. To heck with the homeless. Let's separate the criminals from the homeless. The addicts from the homeless. Let's separate it and let's lock the criminals up. There's no in-betweens.
I think that Nick has a good point. You know, when we did watch that program, yeah. Seattle is Dying, it was really a good point that they made when the criminals were the ones who were feeding the drugs to the homeless. So everybody in those camps, whether you were just homeless, if you want to, segregate the two, so to speak, you've got the homeless on one side and the criminals on the other, the chronic criminals on the other, the chronic criminals are giving the homeless drugs. So I stand with Nick in that you need to separate the two. He's 1,000,000% right, I believe, and I also believe that if you get rid of that 350, those 350 criminals, and you get rid of that large criminal element, the homeless thing probably will be more manageable. I mean, there really isn't anything. The two things that give me pause, number one, is this push for the navigation center. The more I think about this, the less of a push for a jail. When is the statement, the thing I just said, if you take the criminals out of the element, it makes the homeless more manageable. Does that make sense, Nick?
Absolutely. And let me ask Bob one thing. Would you be willing to go on the board to talk with the supervisors about what we want? Are you there, Bob?
Yeah. Go ahead and say that again. I missed the part of it. Sorry, Nick.
Would you be willing to be on the committee to tell the supervisors what we want as taxpaying voting citizens, how we want them to represent us?
I'd be more than happy to be on that committee because, you know, I don't think most of the board members do their job anyway. There are very few. And very few of them want to do it the right way.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Nick.
Well, I just got lucky that time.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know, I am really passionate about this, that we need a county board of supervisors that represents us, and it just doesn't seem like they understand that we're fed up with the criminal element. I don't think there's any of us that don't want to help the homeless. The homeless, I have a lot of empathy for the homeless. If they want help, we'll give it to them. But, you know, if you're trashing our environment, if you're using our green space as a latrine, you know, I don't want to help you.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, I think that separating the two, you take the criminal element out of it, it's going to make the homeless population much more palatable and much easier to deal with. There's no question about it. Again, the more we talk about this, the more I think about this. Why isn't the sheriff just all over the jail thing? I mean, why the big push on the navigation situation? Well,
exactly,
you know, I don't, well, no, no. Let me,
sentiment.
Let me just one last thing too. A lot of it is because people are saying, well, you know, we need to help these people. We do. Well, wouldn't the best way to help them is to alleviate the people who are trying to shove drugs into them and everything else? Wouldn't that be the best way to do that? I mean,
absolutely.
And so I don't understand the logic here or the position of the sheriff. I don't get me wrong. I think Tom's a great sheriff. I didn't say that. But I don't understand his logic. I'd like to hear an explanation of why he thinks the navigation center is going to help us when the real problem is the 350 people or maybe more in the community. The couple we talked about earlier in the program, they were arrested 57 times. I mean, 57? Seriously? One guy was arrested 17? Seriously? I mean, so, gosh, you know, I get absolutely miffed by this.
You know, if I was a criminal, I can't think of a county I would rather be in than Shasta County.
Maybe Butte. Butte County's got some problems, believe me. Butte has a lot of problems. And boy, to be a police officer in Butte, you've got to have some cojones, because that's a tough place to be. But yeah, I mean, I think that we've come up with some stuff today. I hope that I took some notes on some things here in writing down some things. I think we brought some clarity to an issue that needed clarity. And I think that what we need to do is proceed logically and proceed with on your committee, Nick. You need to have people that are going to be able to articulate to one another.
I'm a committee of one. Nobody's joined my committee yet. That's okay. You know what? I'll keep pushing it.
Well, you know,
the point is, let's make the supervisors represent us. We want a jail. We don't want anything else. We want to separate the homeless from the criminal.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah, it is that simple. And that's the thought process.
And
so,
I have pointed out how we can finance it.
I don't think the financing part of it's the issue. It's that has never been the issue on this program, ever. The financing part of it hasn't been the issue. Although people will only vote on a tax if they trust who is circulating and who is responsible for where that tax goes.
If we can show them that this
in
is the
initiative.
Only place it can
in,
go, we can't go anywhere else.
In
that's
an initiative.
What we need to show them.
That's right. So it needs. That's why you have to have the stuff done first.
You know, Peter is such a well-spoken person, and I have tried to get him to come on with me, and he's afraid he'd use profanity.
Well, Ashley's really good on the button, and there's where... Go ahead, Ashley.
I am the dumb button ninja.
She is dumb.
Sovereign Minds calls me.
But she told me there's some words I can use, so I'm really careful on different things. So I can use words that mean one thing, but, you know, or other words, you know?
Yes. But if you use too many of them, you push that line too far, Ashley gets in trouble.
Well,
so.
No. Not if you use words that are
certain ways.
You know, descriptions that are legal descriptions of certain things.
I think Nick is dying over there.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, buddy.
I wanted to thank you for having me on. I just wanted to make one quick comment.
Sure.
That was it when I started. I just wanted to make one quick comment. It's been about an hour and a half later.
Oh, is that what you said at the beginning of this?
That's it.
That you wanted to make one quick comment?
Yes, his quick comment lasted just over 2 hours so far.
Well, we got 45 seconds left, my good friend. Nick, thanks for all you do. Thanks for your passion. And, folks, this is a guy that gets out in the community. He sees what's going on. He's out there fighting for this. Okay, we have the rough makings of something here. Let's see what we can do.
I don't do anything for the community besides stir the pot, but I'm accurate in what I say.
Okay, buddy. Well, with that, Mr. Nick, time has come. You're supposed to finish that.
For 51.
Atta boy.
I'm sitting up here at Bartell. I've got me a beer happy hour. It's 24 hours a day.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.